Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. So glad to be with you and hope we're finding you in a good spot and ready to learn a lot about your home, because we certainly have a lot of details that we're going to be able to share with you on things that you can use at your house right now. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and some of the things we're going to be tackling during this first hour is relationships. Relationships between a dimmer switch and an LED bulb. Sometimes that relationship doesn't work out real well, does it, Joe?
No, especially when the transition to the LED bulbs, right? The old dimmer switches didn't always play very nicely with those bulbs. So the switch manufacturers had to sort of catch up.
That's right. And you know, something else that I've seen over the years, cool new products and so forth. We're going to share with you a really cool motorized blind. You know, have you seen the movies and so forth, and you see the, 007 or whatever, and he pushes a
That's
button
right.
and the blind comes down. You go, oh, man, that's cool. Well, you would be surprised how easy that is to have that in your home without doing any wiring at all. I look forward to sharing that with you. Also, Joe, we're going to be talking about home gyms. You know how so much with the pandemic, a lot of the gyms have either closed or modified their practices
right.
so much that a lot of people not only are building home gyms, of course, building home offices, but we're going to talk a little bit about a few of the things to do with home gyms. A lot of people are finding that that's a little easier to use than having to go to the gym every day.
Yeah, and although the initial investment might be kind of high, if you add up how much you're spending every year, not only for the gym membership, but for driving back and forth and squeezing into your schedule and everything else, that if you can find space in your home, and it doesn't require that much space, actually, to set up a home gym, it really is worth it in the long run. And of course, during this pandemic, people are not only not able to get to the gym because they might be closed, but they're sitting around eating more, and they realize, I've got to get to the gym, but the gym's closed. What am I going to do? So yeah, home gym is a great feature to have in your house.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be talking about that and a lot of other things, including something that's talking to us that you really don't want to be talking to you in your house, and that's your
What's
doors.
That?
You really don't want doors talking back to you. Isn't that right?
Oh, you're talking about the squeaking, squawking doors?
Door that we're going to be talking about. So we'll see what we can do on that. And also, we're getting into winter a little bit here, and a lot of the areas of the country really experiencing a lot of cold weather. And some of the areas of the country that have more of the extreme weather, you want to put away that patio furniture and you want to store it a little bit, but you just can't grab it and throw it in the garage, Joe. There's a few things that need to be done ahead of time.
Yeah, a lot of people put things away and think, well, I'll just fix it or clean it or put it back together if it's loose and wobbly next spring. Well, now's a great time to do it, right? Before you store it, because it could possibly get damaged. So if you take the time now to clean it, store it neatly, you definitely want to bring it indoors, by the way. Like, even if it's metal, even if it's made out of aluminum and you think it's impervious to the weather, which it mostly is, but you really should bring it inside and store it for the winter. And you're right, I'm here in Connecticut, and we're almost the middle of October, and it's been getting down into the lower 40s. And for the highs, it has been in the upper 50s and 60s, so it's definitely getting cooler. The leaves are all beautiful, but half of them are gone already, so it won't be too much longer until you're going to lose your opportunity to clean up the outside of your house.
Another thing we like to remind you about during different times of the year, things that you maybe put off or easy to put off, and that's one of those things is to do with your fireplace maintenance. And whether you have a wood-burning fireplace or whether you have a gas-burning fireplace, there's still some things you need to think about, especially if you have not had your fireplace cleaned and inspected by a certified chimney sweep in the last couple of years. Please do it as soon as possible. And Joe, this time of the year, before it really gets cold, it's a lot easier to get those guys on schedule than when the really cold spell hits and people are starting to use their fireplaces and maybe having problems with the fireplaces.
Right.
Now's the time to make that call.
Yeah, we often say try to get these guys in there. And that's, this goes, by the way, the same goes for the guys who are going to tune up your furnace or your air conditioner. Like, why would I need call the air conditioning guy in March? It's not cold yet. Well, that's why you want, you don't want to wait till July when he says, okay, I'll be there in October. You know, so you want, because he's too busy. And yeah, and I mean, it's, you can never be too safe with a fireplace, especially a wood burning, because, you know, all those flue gases have to exit the house. And if there's any kind of obstruction in the flue, to preventing that from getting out, it could be dangerous. Or if you have a creosote buildup from burning either green wood or softwood, that stuff can eventually catch fire. In fact, I cleaned our fireplace last month with a really cool product I bought, and I do it from inside the house. I don't have to get up on the roof, hook it up to a cordless drill, and you just ream it out. Man,
it's
worked out really well. I'll give you a little more, a few more details later, but yeah, it worked out really well. So you can clean it yourself, but you should really get a pro to inspect it.
Yeah, because, you know, another thing with a pro that's really been in it a while, they'll have a special camera with a light on it that they can run up into. Either they drop it down from the top or they run it up from the bottom so that they can really look closely at any potential crack or settling or anything in there, even obstructions. You know, a lot of times the birds will find their way in. That's another thing the chimney sweep will do to make sure that it is sealed properly. Those are very, very important things. And, you know, I had a question recently. We've done a couple segments recently with our friends at the Weather Channel. And one question that came up is, every year about this time, you see all of the advertising about these creosote logs that will prevent creosote from building up. I don't know much about those. Have you ever had much experience with those creosote logs, Joe?
I can't imagine they work. When I first saw them, I thought, are these things adding creosote? I mean, why would you burn a creosote log, you know? But yeah, the idea is that I guess you burn these, God knows what's in them. It's a manufactured log of some sort. I can't imagine they would work. I just can't imagine. You know, because creosote hardens on the inside of the flue lining, the lining of the flue, the flue tiles, they call them, the clay tiles. And, you know, it doesn't come off that easily. So I can't imagine just passing smoke through it. You know, you just have to scrub it out mechanically with some kind of brush or something. But
yeah,
I've not had any experience with them. I'm not saying they don't work. I'm just saying it seems a little curious to me that they could work.
Right. I know. I'm kind of skeptical on that kind of thing. Kind of like our what have we covered a lot? The electronic pest or the ultrasonic pest repellents.
It's a high pitch. You can't hear it, but the pest can. How do I know the pest can hear it?
Right.
How do I know it's even making a noise? Might not be making, because if you call them, you say, I don't hear anything. They say, yes, exactly. It's working perfectly.
Well, you know, if people are tempted, you know, when they're doing a home improvement project and they see those scrap pieces of wood there, they say, well, why not just burn those in the fireplace? And maybe using a few little trim pieces or a few little things like that as kindling to get your seasoned hardwood burning well is okay.
Exactly.
But boy, you don't want to burn that softwoods in there and the you know, framing lumber and things like that. It just gets too hot, and that can cause a lot of problems because bigger is not better when you're building a fire in your fireplace. It's better to have a smaller fire that really burns and doesn't smolder and doesn't get really too hot. But it's very tempting when you have those scraps laying around.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, you should only use it for kindling, and it should absolutely never be pressure treated lumber. It shouldn't be painted or varnished or anything like that. And split it up and use it sparingly. What I do, and I tell you, this works great. I put the kindling on the grate inside the fireplace. I put 5 or 6 pieces of loosely crumpled newspapers underneath. Then I stack up the firewood in a crisscross pattern. And I happen to cut and split my own firewood. So what I do is I cut some that are about 18 to 20 inches long and some that are about 12 to 14 inches long. So the long ones go across the length of the grate, and then the next layer goes back and forth, because they're all the same length, and you can't let them go back and forth because they're too long and they burn in the middle and they fall out. So but if you stack them like that, put plenty of air, allow plenty of air space, you'd be surprised how quickly that'll light, especially if the wood is really good and dry.
You know, Joe, I used to do a lot of backpacking all over Canada, Colorado, all over the place. And one of the things I always had in my backpack was a little small folded piece of tar paper, building felt.
Oh, really?
I always had that because I could take a little strip of it, take little strips of it, and I could get that fire going. When, you know, when I was having a campfire and so forth. But let's not use that inside the house, okay?
Because it's soaked in some kind of petroleum based something. I don't even know what it
is. Exactly. Exactly. Hey, what about a simple solution this hour, Joe? Why don't you give us a little headline on what we might have there?
All right, Danny, you know, we're always getting emails and callers asking, how do I clean stained grout? Well, there are plenty of grout cleaners out there specifically made for that, but I have a simple solution. How to use something you probably have in your house right now, and it's not actually a grout cleaner, but it works great.
Okay. There you go. Well, you know, a lot of us have ceramic. A lot of us, of course, have grout that go along with it. So, you know, that would be very interesting to see another way that you can keep that grout looking really, really clean. Well, like each and every week, we have a lot of great information to share with you and certainly want to hear from you. 1-800-946-4420 is the number to call, the Today's Homeowner Hotline. And certainly we're going to be dipping into the email bag here. A lot of emails came in this week. We appreciate those. You can send us one anytime at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Hey, we're so glad you're with us. We're about to have a lot of fun. So sit back, relax, get another cup of coffee, and get ready to get some great information about your home here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
Fall is in the air. Fall projects are on the list, and the Home Depot is ready with more ways than ever to help. Use our mobile app to search, shop, and save. Choose flexible delivery options that bring everything you need right to your door. And if you need tools for a project, but not forever, you can rent them. You won't find a better toolbox anywhere else. Take on fall and fall projects now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, what can be more fun than sitting around talking about home improvement, talking about easy, simple ways to make your house even better than it is now? It's one of those environments that you truly can control, and that's what Joe and I love each week to help give you a little inspiration, a few ideas here and there, and it really is a lot of fun to be with you. And we're so fortunate that other people like what we're doing as well, because we're growing and growing, and we have some wonderful stations all over the country, some brand new ones that are just about to come on board, and we certainly have some that have been with us quite a while, just like this one, WMLQ 97.7 FM in Manistee, Michigan.
Manistee is located right on the shores of Lake Michigan in west central Michigan. Its name is derived from the Native American description, river with islands at its mouth.
Oh.
Which certainly sounds like a beautiful spot.
Wow.
Manistee was founded on the logging industry and then in the late 19th century became one of the largest wood shingle manufacturers in the world. They had over 30 shingle mills on the river at the same time. They must have been pumping out a lot of shingles. And Manistee also has a long association with the salt industry and is currently the home to Morton Salt. So next time
you buy
a jug of Morton Salt, you can think of Manistee. That's where it comes from.
How about that? There you go. Well, so glad to be airing and there throughout the whole Michigan area. And if you have a phone call or have a question for us, it's pretty easy to reach out to us. Pick up the phone, 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner Hotline. And, of course, emails are always welcome anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to head right to Virginia. Leilani is joining us today. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm in Virginia. My name is Lonnie, and thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with some recessed lights. I have hand lights or recessed lights in my kitchen. There are 9, and they're all on a dimmer switch. So they come on at the same time. Never had any problems with it. I had 2 of the canned lights changed by an electrician, and he put in pendant light fixtures. And when he went up in the wall, he said he didn't have to add any new electrical wiring or anything. He just had to move, I guess, the whatever it is in the wall that holds the electrical, you know, fixture in sync with the other lights.
Right.
So everything is still on the same switch.
Okay.
But now, occasionally when I turn the lights on, the pendant lights delay coming on. And I never had that happen with any of the canned lights in that group. And sometimes it doesn't come on at all. And then I cut the switch off and turn it back on. And then the pendant lights will pop on.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly what's going on. I still have the holes in my wall because I'm afraid to close up the old hole because he had to move those fixtures to center over an island. So I'm not sure what's going on. I'm like, do I have a safety hazard here, a fire hazard? Like, what's going on?
Okay. I don't know if it may necessarily be a any kind of a safety hazard. It is kind of an odd thing. But a lot of times this type of situation involves a dimmer not being exactly compatible with an LED type of light. And do you know if when those pendants were put up, were they LEDs or incandescent?
Well, I asked my husband, and he said that he made all the light bulbs the same. Now, they're not the same brand, but they're all dimmable, incandescent, 60-watt bulbs. Now, the ones that are in the canned fixtures are the ones that kind of fan out. You know, they're kind of an A-shape, or they fan out. And the ones in the pendant, they're just round light bulbs.
I see. But it would really be unusual to use an incandescent this day and time. I'm just wondering if there is a compatibility there. Joe, what do you think on that? Because I would certainly think if it's a new fixture, it almost has to be LED these days.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Lonnie. Any new fixture would almost certainly be LED. And the when they first came out, LED lights, almost none of the existing dimmer switches would operate them. I mean, they wouldn't operate at all. And then manufacturers came out with switches that were supposed to be compatible, and sometimes they were, sometimes they weren't, because the whole industry between the light bulbs or the light fixtures being new and then trying to catch up with the switches, there was a short period of time, maybe a year or so, before they got it right. I know that because there's a microprocessor inside the dimmer switches, and they don't always play well with the LEDs. I know Lutron had one that didn't work, and they had to switch it to a new one, and the new ones are called Diva or Skylark, I think, are the two models. But in any case, if you got a newer dimmer switch that is absolutely compatible with LEDs, that should solve the problem. It shouldn't have anything to do with the wiring. It shouldn't have anything. I don't think it's defective or dangerous or anything like that. So I'm guessing that, as Danny suggested, it's probably the dimmer switch is the issue, not the fixtures or the wiring.
My pendant lights are new. My can lights are 30 years old. I mean, it was with the original house.
What I would suggest is replacing the old can lights with an LED retrofit. You can get you don't have to change out anything except what you see when you look up at the ceiling. You just pull out what's there. The old can stays in place. The wiring stays in place. And you can ask the electrician to bring you the LED retrofit kits, and you just screw it in. You just screw it in just like a light bulb, and it snaps in place, and it'll look like it will probably look very similar to what you have now, but it'll be an LED. And now you have all LED with the right dimmer switch. Everything will be compatible, and I suspect this issue will disappear.
Yeah, boy, Joe, that's good advice for anybody that has the old-fashioned recess cans. Boy, they're just like little heat lamps, you know. They just, and they'll burn those bulbs up, and they're just not good at all. So it is so simple just to really release those and then just screw those LED conversion kits up in there. And that's true if you're having any trouble with dimmer switches and lights. There's a couple things to think about. First of all, this more current issue with the incompatibility of a dimmer switch and bulbs, you know, you can get past that. And again, Lutron or Leviton has a great dimmer switch that'll get you past that. But you really, sooner or later, every one of those lights in your house are going to be LED. You might as well go ahead and make that bit of a conversion there. And it's, the LED lights, just like so many things that are introduced into the building world, boy, they've really come down in price. I'll tell you, when they were first being hyped and I saw a floodlight bulb for $68, I said, I don't know about the future of this system.
Yeah, well, it was like anything else when it first comes out, right? I mean, if there's only a few of them, the technology is not everybody's making them. There might only be one or two manufacturers, but over time, the price comes down and down until, you know, everyone's buying them. And yeah, they're pretty affordable now, especially if you buy them in a pack. I have never bought, in the last 2 years, I've never bought a single LED bulb, unless mm-hmm. it's a specialty bulb for someplace. If you buy them in a pack, they're pretty affordable, and you know, they last almost forever. And by the way, we're calling them a bulb because everybody calls them LED bulbs. There's no light bulb involved in an LED fixture. It's a light-emitting diode. That's what it stands for. And this is why they can make them so small, because there is no bulb. It's just this little tiny thing that lights up, and it produces an amazing amount of really bright, white, clean light.
But, you know, if you have a large room and you may have 6, 8, 10 recessed lights, and over the years, you know, you've replaced this one with this and this one with this, and you look up there, and it's just a hodgepodge of different color temperatures and so forth. Yep. Let me tell you, I had that in my office, and it drove me crazy. So I took every one of them out, and I put these new LED lights in there, and I saved the other bulbs to use here and there in other fixtures. And everybody that walks into my office is like, whoa, wow. You know, I mean, it's just it's just a feel-good light. It's really, you know, it's bright enough, but it's pleasant enough. So a great way to go, and well worth the modest investment there. Hey, we're just getting started here on today's Homeowner Radio. We've got so many more issues coming up, including that talking door we were talking about. We'll see if we can solve that and quieten that issue down when we come back here on today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio, the number one place for practical, realistic home improvement tips. Call today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420, 800-946-4420. Danny and Joe will be right back. Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment, brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Now, if you're looking for ways to make life easier, this may be the toy for you. This cellular shade motorization kit from Home Decorators Collection converts manual shades to motorized shades with just a few simple steps. The motor is powered by an integrated 4-volt lithium-ion battery, which controls the shades up to a year before it needs to be recharged with the wall adapter. Now, you can communicate with the motor module with Bluetooth technology using the smartphone app, the remote control, or with the press of a button on the electronic end cap. The remote will control up to 6 motorized shades independently or simultaneously, and the app will allow you to program the shades to automatically move to custom positions based on schedules you create. Now, for more information on this pretty unique shade motorization kit, check it out at HomeDepot.com. It's a pretty
amazing. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you think about maybe one of the out of the way type of units that you have, you know, something that's out of the way that you just can't get to, you know, without a ladder or something. That's a great one. And I have something almost exactly like this in my master bedroom, and it's kind of cool to be able to just push a button and raise them or lower them without going over there with all the strings, because you know, that's a strong trend, as you know, Joe, eliminating all of the strings on blinds these days. because of accidents that have happened in the past. So this fits right in with that whole idea.
Yeah. In fact, we have a console table in our family room that's in front of a window. And there's no way to reach the without like climbing up on top of the table almost. So the shade's up and I haven't touched it in a while. So this would be a great way. And I like the fact that they have a remote control, but then they have a button on the end cap, because I'm sure people are looking for a remote control and they can't find it. So I have to go and actually press the button on the device itself.
Yeah, that's a great way to go. Well, let's go to today's homeowner hotline. We have a recording call here from Sandy in Ohio.
I got this doggone combination door, and it makes such a squawking noise every time I open it, and I'm getting really sick of it. I've tried everything. Tried WD-40 on the hinges, and I've tried liquid silicone spray, and nothing works, and I don't know what to try next. I'll open it and let you hear it on the phone. It's the only thing I can do. I haven't got a computer or cell phone or anything like that. This is the only way I can get a hold of you, okay? Listen. Well, that's the squawk. pretty loud, pretty obnoxious.
Oh boy, yeah, I think it would be safe to say that Sandy's a little frustrated.
Sound like that noise is the same noise my knees make when I bend down to get something out of the lower cupboard in the kitchen.
Well, you know, so many times people will spray a multi-purpose spray like WD-40, and you know, a lot of times it makes things better, but that actually builds up residue, especially inside locks and any kind of moving parts and so forth. So not always the best way to go. Graphite is certainly the most preferred way of knocking out a lot of those squeaks like that from professional locksmith. But Joe, there's other things there to consider when you have something that's squawking as much as that.
Right, yeah. And it doesn't get better, right? It only gets worse and worse. And it can drive you absolutely crazy. Well, I tell you what, I shot a simple solution to this, and you can see the video at todayshomeowner.com/simple-solutions. But it's a very quick tip. Just take a nail set, or if you don't have a nail set, even like a pretty big nail, and tap out one of the hinge pins. It doesn't even matter which one's squeaking, because you're going to do this to all the hinges. Tap out the hinge pin on the upper hinge. Don't take them all out, because then the door will fall. So do this one at a time. Take out the hinge pin, and you want to clean it really well. Wipe it clean. If you have to use mineral spirits or something like that, you want to get it as clean as possible. Scrape off any grease and dirt, and obviously any paint that might be stuck on it. You shouldn't be painting these hinges anyway, but sometimes people do. So get it as clean as you possibly can. Then take a piece of sandpaper, like 120 grit, even 100 grit, and buff it. You want to get it as shiny and as brand new as you can. If you find any kind of little metal burr or nib on it, file that off. You want a perfectly clean pin. And then just take, I have a little can of 3-in-1 oil. You want one little thin bead along. You don't want to spray, you don't want to soak, just one little thin bead. Tap it in back into the hinge, and then repeat that for the other two. I've done this 3 or 4 times, and I actually did this just last week on our bedroom door, and it solved the problem instantly. Now, it doesn't mean it's not going to come back, and it might, maybe in 6 months, maybe in a year, whatever. But that I've used several times, and it absolutely works. So try that. I think she'll find that works, and will silence that squeak.
Sure. Well, that's, you know, the main moving parts there and the main place where friction can cause that type of sound. So I think that's a great advice. So what were you getting caught sneaking out of your bedroom going down for that midnight sack, huh?
Sneaking in. Marla hates it when I sneak into the bedroom.
Yeah. Hey, let's go to our email.
She doesn't mind when I sneak out. In fact,
right.
She got to the point where she just leaves the door open. Maybe I'll just stagger out in the middle of the night.
Well, that's perfect. Hey, well, we want to cover some emails now, and certainly would love to get an email from you at any time. todayshomeowner.com/ask. This came in from one of our viewers in San Diego, California. Bryson asked, hey, we're expanding our 12x24 wood deck by adding on 2 octagon shaped decks. Now, each new deck will be about 10 foot in diameter, and one will be used for dining and the other for the grill. Should the new decks be the same level as the main deck, or should they step down or step up? I like the multi-level look, but don't want to create a tripping hazard. Also, we'll be replacing the sun-damaged wood decking with composite decking, and I know that composite decking usually contains some recycled fibers, but are there any made from 100% recycled wood or plastic? Thanks so much. My wife and I love listening to your show on Saturday mornings. Well, Bryson, thank you very much for that wonderful email. It sounds like you're well on your way to creating a wonderful outdoor living space. And you know, I'm one that likes the deck on the same level for the same reason, possible tripping hazard. And it also, to me, when you have it on the same level, it seems to really be larger, feels larger and easier for the kids or the elderly to maneuver around a little bit. But what about that recycle question, Joe? Do you know of any that are really, truly 100% recycled?
The only one that I know, there are 100% plastic, but I don't know if they're 100% recycled. The only one I know is called BAM Deck, B-A-M Deck, and it's made out of 100% recycled material. It's 60% reclaimed bamboo, which is why it's called BAM Deck, then 40% recycled plastic. And it's made from a company called Cali Bamboo, C-A-L-I, Cali. That's the only one I know it's 100%.
There you go, Bryson. We might want to consider that. The BAM flooring is at least one alternative there. But you can't go wrong with creating these outdoor living spaces and certainly using composite deck. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. Glad you're with us. We'll be right back.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Even if you're not a professional woodworker, you want to use the glue the pros use. And 3 out of 4 pro woodworkers trust Tight Bond as their choice. For building wood furniture or cabinets, to making picture frames or birdhouses, or just general repairs around the house, Tight Bond has the widest choice of glues to help with whatever project you want to tackle. Tight Bond, the right glue for your next project. Just ask the pros. For more information, visit TightBond.com or see them on Facebook.
Mold on your siding, moss on your roof, mildew on your deck. The easiest way to get rid of it all is with Wet and Forget Outdoor. There's no scrubbing, no rinsing, and no pressure washing. Just spray and leave. Wet and Forget Outdoor is non-caustic and safe for any outdoor surface. Just spray and you're done with Wet and Forget Outdoor. Get Wet and Forget Outdoor at participating Ace, Walmart, and Lowe's Home Improvement stores, or visit wetandforget.com for a store near you. Ready to make your slippery surfaces safer indoors and out? Deitch Coatings now brings you TrackSafe Anti-Slip Sealer, and I think it's a winner. TrackSafe is a tough, pre-mixed clear coat you can roll onto slippery concrete, stone, tile, linoleum, and painted surfaces. It brings added beauty and foot traction to steps, wet pool decks and walkways, garage and interior floors, and more. Get a grip with slip-resistant TrackSafe. Order today online through the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com. When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486. Outdoor concrete projects are quick and easy with Quikrete fast-setting concrete in the red bag. Whether you need to set a fence post, mailbox post, or deck footing, or even pour a backyard patio, Quikrete fast-setting concrete in the red bag makes it simple. To set a post, there's no mixing. Just pour the dry mix into the hole and add water. It sets hard in about 20 minutes and you're done. It's that fast and easy. Quikrete fast-setting concrete. Look for it in the red bag.
Today's homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we want to hear from you. We make it very easy. Pick up the phone. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner Hotline. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can reach out to us with any question, comment, or tip that you may have. We would love to hear from you. Emails, of course, are always encouraged at todayshomeowner.com/ask. On the hotline right now is JK from Connecticut with a fantastic question. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Danny, and hello to you and Joe. So I have kind of a broad question. About 6 months ago, my gym here in Connecticut closed. So I've been interested in building, and I've done a little research online, building basically a home gym. I see a lot of people call it a garage gym. And I'd like to go forward, and I wanted to find out what advice the two of you may have for me as I start planning this out.
Okay. All right. Well, I can certainly help you on that.
The timing, Jay, is perfect because Danny just moved his garage gym to a new home, right?
Exactly right. In my previous house, I had a two-car garage that I eventually turned into a gym and put a lot of machines in there and so forth. When I moved to my new place, I have a smaller place, but I still basically did the same thing. But I'll tell you, when we're talking about surfaces, and you're talking about, first of all, the flooring, tell you something I found that's just about as good as it gets, and it's commercial carpet that comes in 2-foot by 2-foot squares. You probably see them everywhere and may not realize it, but boy, the installation of these things is so easy. They're not very expensive, and it's just about the most durable flooring I have ever seen, because in my previous place, we had, since it was an old garage, that was also our entrance right through diagonally was the walkway to get from inside the house to outside. And so I thought for sure that there would be a tremendous wear pattern, but after about 3 or 4 years, you couldn't see any wear pattern at all. So it's great for the weights and for walking and to keep it clean. So that would be a strong recommendation there, going with those type of squares, because it's, you know, it's very tight knit, and you can get some pretty cool colors if you want to kind of jazz it up a little bit. But that's what I would recommend on that. And for me, I also, you know, love music, and so I had 4 speakers I put in there and a nice little tuner and receiver that I could use. I think that's a good suggestion. And then, I actually had a remodeling project where a lady had a wall of mirrors that she wanted us to take down, and I knew just the place for those things to go. So we carefully removed those, and I reinstalled them on the gym. So, you know, keeping your eye out, maybe even looking on Craigslist or some of those places for someone that maybe is discarding some of those that you can use, not a bad way to go either.
All right, great ideas. One question on the flooring. This will be on a board slab, which I imagine you had in your garage. Did you have any issues with, you know, dropping a weight and cracking with concrete, or, you know, would you recommend a rubber surface under that carpet? How'd you handle that?
Well, that's another option, is the interlocking rubber floors that are available for garages. We've installed several of those, and man, they're really cool. But a couple things. Well, one, it's fairly expensive, and two, I always worry about trapping in a floor like that, trapping moisture or something trapping underneath there. It was a little hard. I mean, now, of course, they say, well, you just lift it up and clean it, but that's not as easy as it sounds, especially when you have a lot of, exercise equipment around there. But I think using some of the overlay pads, the exercise pads that are the thick, dense rubber in those areas where the weights might be hitting the floor on a regular basis, probably not a bad thing to have on top of the carpet as well.
Right. Okay. One last quick question. If I'm attaching a pull-up bar or any equipment to a stud wall, do you think a 2x4 stud wall, interior wall, is sufficient, or would it need more blocking or something? Is that a problem?
Well, I mean, as long as you, of course, are screwing, bolting right into the wood studs, it'd probably be fine. But what I would do is I'd put a 2x6 or something like that across the wall and double, triple bolt that through 3 or 2 or 3 or 4
Got
studs,
it.
You know, and then hang anything off of that. And just getting back to your floor for 1 second, since it sounds like you're going to be using free weights, dense rubber right. would be the way to go because it's the most durable and shock absorbent. And a really affordable thing to use, Jay, is go to like a Tractor Supply or a place like that and get horse stall mats. They're 3/4 inch thick. And they're 4 by 6 foot, and they're only about $35-$36 a piece. And a lot of weight rooms, that's what they're using. They're 3/4 inch thick.
I see.
And you can double them up if you need to. And you can use those for, you can make a deadlift platform out of plywood and then put these on the sides. And that you might find will protect the floor and protect the weights, you know, from dropping the weights on the concrete.
Right, right. Well, that's great, guys. Great advice. I really appreciate it.
Hey, yeah. our pleasure,
Good luck
Jay.
With that, Jay.
Get out there and get pumped up and shake off some of that pandemic weight. That
you got it, man. Thanks, Danny. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the advice.
Hey, thank you very much. You know, so many people are looking at those kind of options. You know, we hear a lot about home offices, a lot about home gyms, and it's just like a lot of things that you do, particularly with your, an exercise, a home gym. You know, you don't have to go out and buy everything that you need, but get the space ready for it. Then you can get the weight bench, you can get the bicycle, you can get the treadmill a little at a time, and before you know it, you got this really cool place at your house that what's better than going and getting a good workout in every single morning. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. We're going to take a very short break, and we're going to be right back with some more great home improvement information. Stay with us.
For summer DIY projects, you know the Home Depot's always in your corner. Now with our mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand. With digital tools like image search, snap a picture of something, it'll recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And our product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at Checking In with Chelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
We're so glad to have you here on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Around the Yard segment sponsored by our friends at Pavestone. With fall in full swing, people often wonder what they should be doing in their gardens. Now, unless you like raking leaves, it can be a pretty slow time. But here's a chore you may not have considered: mulching. Adding mulch around new plants is a great idea in the spring, but also adding fresh mulch in the fall makes a lot of sense as well. It prevents erosion and suppresses weeds. weeds, but mulching in the fall also protects the plants from moisture loss and the coming changes in temperature. Now, in some areas, fall can also be very, very dry with drastic daily swings in temperature, so mulching helps your garden maintain an even keel. And, of course, perennials or cool weather annuals will survive the winter a lot better with a warm blanket of mulch. Now, if you use an organic mulch like pine needle sawdust or fallen leaves, you also will be adding nutrients to the soil. Now, I would recommend avoiding any straw because it can contain seeds that will create a problem with weeds in the spring. And fallen leaves are seed-free, plentiful, and they cost you nothing, but they are low in nitrogen, so you'll need to add a little fertilizer to get the spring growth you want in just a few months. Now, whatever material you choose, wrap up your gardens in a blanket of mulch this fall, and they'll thank you next spring. This Around the Yard segment brought to you by our friends at Pavestone. Always little tips that you can always do something out in your yard to make it a little better and a little nicer. Right now, we want to switch gears, throw it over to my buddy Joe Truini for this hour's simple solution.
All right, Danny, earlier I had sort of teased you with a way to clean grout without using a grout cleaner. Sure, there are plenty of products, specialty products on the market specifically formulated for cleaning dirty, grungy tile grout, but you might just have something in your home right now that works just as well, and it's toilet bowl cleaner. That's right. If you have liquid toilet bowl cleaner, comes in a little squeeze bottle. Lysol has one, Clorox has one as well, and usually has a little bent nozzle on it, so that I guess the idea is you can reach up underneath the rim of the toilet. But it has an excellent cleaning properties. It usually has some kind of bleach in it, and all you have to do is just squirt a bead of liquid toilet bowl cleaner along the grout joint, wait 2 or 3 minutes, and wipe it off with a scouring sponge. That's it.
Man.
And if you do that regularly, now depending on how many people live in a house and how busy that room is, but even in a busy bathroom, if you did that, you know, once every 2 months, you probably wouldn't even need to do it that often. You'd keep it clean and it wouldn't get so badly stained. But try that. If you have some toilet bowl cleaner at home and you have some dirty grout, try the cleaner. I'm sure it'll work.
Oh, that's a great idea. I have not heard of that, but I can see where it would work very, very well considering what it's designed for. Great way to go. And boy, you hit on something there too, is cleaning on a regular basis. If that grout really gets bad, you can get it cleaner, but you may not get it back like you want. So that's a good thing to do on a regular basis. And after you have cleaned it really, really well, remember, sealing grout is a great way to repel those stains and a fairly easy little project that you can do without spending a lot of time and certainly a lot of money. Hey, that's going to pretty much wrap up this first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. Want to remind you, you can join us anytime by giving us a call, 800-946-4420, or sending us an email anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask. If you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, no problem. Head over to todayshomeowner.com so that you don't miss a thing. And remember the Today's Homeowner podcast at todayshomeowner.com/podcast. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thank you so much for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner hotline anytime, 800-946-4420. Or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.